camera crashed on us, so I think we finally got it back up, but a new live stream had to start from that, so the previous one is now broken, so maybe some folks will find us on this new video, who knows. But the important thing is we're here at Porch Light Baptist Church. We've had a good service so far, had some good singing, and just excited that we're able to meet together today. And also remember our missionaries. I've already mentioned it this morning, but the Bland's family in Costa Rica and then the Sauter family in Zambia, Africa, I want you to pray for them. And I've had it on my heart to support someone in Australia. I've contacted two different missionary families so far, and neither one of them has gotten back to me. So I don't know if they just don't want our support or if they're just not getting our messages. But we'll just pray and have the Lord lead us to the right folks to support in Australia. We have actually a large listening audience in Australia. I guess it's besides the United States, it's the second most largest listening audience that we have, according to our stats on Sermon Audio. And so I've always wanted to support a missionary there. We did at our former church, and they came off the field and not been able to replace anyone since then. But just praying the Lord will help us with that. And thankful that the things the Lord is blessing us with, that we are able to support missionaries worldwide. And I pray that we'll be able to support many more in the future. But remember these that are sick right now, and all the things, problems going on in this world, and just pray the Lord will help us through it. All right, well, we do have a message this morning that the Lord has been helping me prepare, and I want to preach that today. And we're going to be taking our text out of the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 6 through 8. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And I've titled the message this morning, A Man Sent from God. And we're going to be talking about John the Baptist. If I had a subtitle, I would call it Four Qualities of John the Baptist That Should Be Present in Every Believer. John chapter 1, we'll go ahead and read our verses, starting with verse 6. And here the Bible says, There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you help us as we try to preach here for just a few minutes on this subject here on John the Baptist and the four qualities that we find in him. Lord, I know there's many more than just four, but we want to look at these today, and we pray that you help us with that. And we'll give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there's no doubt throughout the Bible you'll find many great men and women of God that has done great things. And we could all call them heroes. I preached a series of messages a few years ago on heroes of the Bible. And John the Baptist certainly was one of those. But when you think of these great men and women of the Bible, you think of men such as, you know, that are my favorites, Elijah, the prophet. I love to read about him and what all God did with that man, that prophet. Boldness. He'd come out and shake his fist and finger right in the face of the king and all the things that he did. It was so exciting to read about. And then you have men like the Apostle Paul, who you know is one of my very favorite Bible heroes. My bookcase, you can't see it, but it's back here behind us. My bookcase is filled full of books that are centralized on the Apostle Paul. I really love to read about him and his travels, and not only his travels, but his boldness for Christ and his teachings in the church. We get most of our doctrine about the New Testament church from the Apostle Paul, as the Lord had inspired him to write about. And then there's men like King David, who the Bible says is a man after God's own heart. And we see all the many great things that he did. And so all these people we know are great heroes of the Bible, but John the Baptist, he stands out in the front of all these. To me, you can't find any better example of a Bible hero than John the Baptist. And there are four things that I do want to point out this morning as we expound upon this, that are qualities of John the Baptist that we should find within ourselves. If you're a Christian, You should have these four qualities in your life. And if you don't, you need to pray and ask the Lord to help you with them. Because we can all possess these qualities that John the Baptist possessed. Now, all the Gospels mention John. We just read right here in the Gospel of John, which is not the same John. John is the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, the human pimen of this Gospel. But he's talking about John. He begins out his Gospel talking about him. And I like the way, though, that John Mark actually introduces John the Baptist. Because he gives us a lot of information there about John the Baptist that some of the other writers don't mention. And when you were growing up as a young child, when someone taught you about John the Baptist, they probably taught you from the Gospel of Mark, because Mark goes into these details about what he wore and the way he operated there. And I always loved that. I clung to those messages when I was a little boy and I'd be in Sunday school and they start talking about John the Baptist. My ears perked up, man. I was ready to hear about him. But I want to read you, if you want to turn there in the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1. The first 8 verses there, Mark starts out his gospel the same, talking about John. And the reason being was, this is the beginning of before Christ begins his public ministry. The Lord's been preparing the way, and that's what John is for. Mark 1, starting with verse 1, the Bible says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." If you knew nothing else about John the Baptist other than what we just read in the Gospel of Mark, you would have a great understanding of just what kind of man John was. He's one like none other. There is no other, I won't say character, but person in history that compares with John the Baptist. The closest one being probably Elijah the prophet, which I believe John the Baptist being the image of him. He's the one that's been promised to be sent. The Lord said that Elijah would return before his coming, and I believe this to be through John the Baptist, and the Lord even mentions that. So as we look through this, I want to give you the first quality that we find in John the Baptist, and that is that John the Baptist had a purpose. He was a man with a purpose. Now, one of the most asked questions of every human being on the face of this earth naturally is, what is my purpose? Now, sometimes we say it in the form of, what's God's will for my life? But what is our purpose? Everybody wants a purpose. Even people that are not Christians are looking for their purpose in life. And a lot of people spend a lot of time searching for the purpose in life for them. And sometimes they never find it. Sometimes they decide that there's some certain purpose for them, which was really not their intended purpose, but yet that's what they fulfill their life doing. And if they'd only had the purpose that God had set forth for them. Now, you may say, well, I really don't care about that, Pastor Byron, what my purpose is. I just want to slide on through life. Well, one day I believe your eyes will open up and you'll say, boy, I've wasted a lot of time in my life. I wonder what my purpose is here on this earth for. Well, I read a sad story in the news not too long ago. It was about a man that lived in Paris. There was a man that came to rent an apartment. They gave him the keys to it. He had signed the papers. He unlocked the door. He walked in and went into the bedroom, and he found a man hanging from the ceiling. Now, when the police arrived and looked over the scene, they discovered that this man had been dead for 8 years. 8 years. And nobody missed him. Nobody had a clue about it. They interviewed some of the neighbors and they asked them about the man and they said, well, we really didn't know him. This is very busy community, they said. We're all commuters. And so we've got busy lives and so we've never really even spoke to the man. Nobody even missed him. Nobody knew he was dead. Apparently no family or anything missed the man. And I always wonder about people like that. What is their purpose? Did the man not have a purpose? Was something so wrong in his life that he had to take his own life because he had no purpose? Sadly, those that never pray and ask God to show them for a purpose sometimes will choose the wrong thing for their life. And they'll take it upon themselves. Instead of seeking God's counsel, God's will for their life, they will sit around and weigh out their talents. They'll weigh out the things they're good at, and they'll say, well, since I'm good at this, then this is probably my purpose in life. And they'll go off and try to make that happen for them. A lot of people will struggle with that because it was never their intended purpose. Now, there may be some things that you decide that are your purpose, and you may go about doing them, and you may have some matter of success, but you will never be as successful in life unless you fulfill God's purpose for your life. If you're fulfilling your own purpose, your own will, going about your own decisions, it's never going to be as good as what God has in store for you. So we want to see that the purpose of our life is aligned with God's will, God's purpose. And so we may fritter our whole lives away doing something that even may be a good thing, but yet there could have been something much better if we'd only followed God's will. And so people will do things that they were never intended to do. It was not their purpose. Well, John the Baptist had a purpose. His purpose, as we see in our Bible, Mark 1 and 2, is to prepare the way. To prepare the way. Now, no doubt John was a great and powerful man. He obviously was a very charismatic man. He obviously was a man that commanded attention wherever he was at. He didn't stray very far away from his home base. In fact, he didn't even have a church. John the Baptist kind of just went out in the middle of nowhere and began preaching about Jesus, preaching about the Messiah that was coming. Don't see any pomp and circumstance for John the Baptist. Didn't see him sending out any flyers. Didn't see him advertising on Facebook. Didn't see John the Baptist doing anything to draw attention to himself. All he did was go out in the wilderness and start preaching about Jesus. And we find that people come to hear him. They come to flock to hear him. Now, if you were to examine his ministry, most seminaries today would tell you that was the most miserable way to have a ministry. There is no way a seminary is going to tell you to, oh, just go out in the middle of nowhere and start preaching to the air and people will just come to hear you. They won't tell you that. Today's way of thinking is that we have to have big buildings. I mean, that's the desire of most young preachers today. They think they have to have this huge building with hundreds or thousands of people, and they're not successful if they don't have all of this. They look at their heroes out there that have these large churches, like maybe Pastor Clarence Sexton, and a lot of those seminary boys will look at him, and then they want what he has there. They want what he's developed and grew over all these years in ministry, over 50 years of preaching the gospel. And they think they need that right from the very get-go. So they won't even look at a little bitty church or, you know, go and help a pastor that's struggling. Maybe some country church that needs help real bad, needs a song leader, needs a teacher, needs a deacon. So they won't even consider a small place like that. They want to have the biggest and the best. And that's the way that men think today. They base their success upon the world's idea of success, which is bigger, better, richer, bolder. But that's not the way John the Baptist had success. John did the opposite of what the way that most men think today. His purpose was to prepare the way for Jesus. And what a purpose. There's no greater purpose on this earth than to prepare the way for Jesus. And God began working in John's life even before he was born. Even before John was born, God purposed John the Baptist for something to do. Luke, the physician, talking about John the Baptist, he writes this in his gospel in Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Luke writes, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." So there in his own mother's womb, Elizabeth being the cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus, having John the Baptist inside of her womb, the Bible says he leapt and his mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. So God was working on him inside the womb before he was ever born for this purpose that he had. Now, thankfully, Elizabeth didn't practice today's women that could care less about babies. She didn't have an abortion. She had this John the Baptist, this baby. What a wonderful thing. Now, whether you realize it or not, God has a purpose for you, and he actually gave it to you before you were ever born. You see, the Lord doesn't operate the way we do. We only operate in the here and now. We can only see, and I like the way my dad used to explain this. He said, we can only see where we've been, where we're at right now, and just right in front of our face. But God sees things on a scale all the way from the beginning all the way through eternity. So God sees all these things throughout all time, but all we see is this very little narrow bit of information that we have. But God has made a purpose for you before you were even born. If you're saved right now, God preordained you to be saved. It says this over in Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see that? It's God's will, his good pleasure, to preordain people, predestinate us to be saved. And so if you're saved today, I want you to know he wrote down your name before the foundations of the world. And God gave us a purpose. And because God has a purpose, did you see there in verse 9? According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Did I say that right, verse 9? Yeah, I didn't read it a while ago, but there in Ephesians 1 and 9, it says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. So God purposed his will into us before we were ever born. Now, John the Baptist had a purpose. We need a purpose. Now, let's look at the second quality of John. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The second purpose of John, or the second quality that we find in John here, is that he declared the truth. John declared the truth. So he had a purpose and he declared the truth. John's message was always the same. It never varied. It never changed. From the very beginning of John's ministry, all the way until he was beheaded there in prison, his message remained the same, and it was the truth, and it was, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so he preached a message of repentance and looking for the one that could redeem you, which was the Messiah that was promised. He called him the Lamb of God. When John's standing there at the river and he's baptizing people, and Jesus walks through and he points over at him and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's who he was preaching about. That's who he was telling about. And that's who people need to repent and turn to. So his message was truth. People, listen, today, if you try to say the truth behind the pulpit, people don't want to listen to you. But you get up and tell somebody a pretty story. Get up and fill them full of fluffy things, full of sugar sticks. You know, those sermons that just make everybody want to feel good. You know, it doesn't touch on sin. Doesn't touch on the need for repentance. And you can fill up a building when you pet people's sins. If you never talk about sin, such as some of the largest so-called pastors in this land will get up and they'll tell you, even on the news, they don't preach about that. What about this subject? Oh, no, 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 we don't touch that. There's many other things we could preach about than that. And so we just don't preach that. Well, I want you to know that the man of God is supposed to preach the full counsel of God. And God says more things about our sin than he does all these sweet things that people want to preach on all the time. And so if you try to say the truth today, you will get rejected. I will never have some large congregation of a church because there's just not enough people today that want to hear the truth of God's word. They want to have their sins petted. And I'm sorry, I cannot pet sin. I have to say what the Bible says about it. And that always offends people. Now, I can start preaching about something that we consider maybe a large sin. Those things that people see, and in their minds, these are the biggies, you know, murder. You know, if I can get up and preach against murder, everybody's just, amen, brother, you know, shouldn't murder anybody. But if I get up and start talking about gluttony, if I get up and start talking about cheating the tax on your taxes, if I start talking about fooling your insurance company about your roof that's 100 years old and you think that hail damage ought to be paid because of that hail damage. Listen, when I start talking about those things, then I start offending people. They don't want to hear that. Well, what about gossip? Oh, now hang on, you know. But now I can talk about murder and I can talk about, you know, I could talk about prostitution or something like that, and everybody's like, that's right, you know, tell them, brother. Listen, a sin is a sin is a sin. And they're all, you're all punishable by death. The Bible teaches repentance over and over and over. The Lord Jesus taught repentance, repent or perish. John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Peter says, repent. The people standing on the day of Pentecost, what can we do? He says, repent. So repentance is taught all through the Bible. In fact, my master's seminary course, when I went to Crown College, my thesis was on repentance. And it was several pages long. I titled it, Repent or Perish, right after the words of the Lord. Well, we've got too many people today, and too many pulpits, too many preachers, petting sin. And guys running around in their million-dollar airplanes, wearing their $1,000 suits with their $100 smile, you know, whatever it is. Look, it doesn't matter, you know, they claim it doesn't matter what you're doing. Everybody's welcome and everybody, you're fine, you know. We just want to talk about God's love. That's all they want to talk about. Don't want to mention repentance. Don't want to mention their sins because they don't want to offend anybody and they don't want to get a run out of town. Well, John the Baptist, he got up and declared the truth no matter who was offended. Listen to what it says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Verses 1 through 11. Now, these were times when if you spoke out against the leaders of the land, it's not like it is today. Today, people can get on television and run down the leaders, our president, and say all kinds of terrible things, threaten his life, and nobody cares. But in the day of John the Baptist, if you got up and spoke against one of your leaders, it meant death. Did John the Baptist care? Well, let's read it, Matthew 14, starting verse 1. At that time, Herod, the tetrarch, heard of the fame of Jesus. Now, Herod is the governor over all this land here in Judea. John is living in his jurisdiction. He's the highest authority right there besides the Romans. The Romans are the highest authority. But the Herods here, they operate as so-called kings, puppet kings. But yet, they had authority. And so Herod hears about John out there preaching in this wilderness, and it says his fame. So everybody's talking about John the Baptist, and Herod's heard about it. Verse 2, and he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Now, we've not read it before this, but what had happened Herod had put John to death, and we're going to see it here. Matthew's going to tell us about it. But at this point, John has been put to death, and Herod has seen the things that Jesus is doing, and he thinks it's John the Baptist that's come back to life to get him. Look at verse 3. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Now, what had happened, Herod here had taken his brother's wife as his own wife. And so it was sinful. And look at verse 4. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. So John the Baptist gets up, puts his finger right in Herod's face, saying, what you're doing is sin. He did not say, John or Herod, listen, buddy, I'm praying for you, and I hope everything works out with Herodias, you know. And we just love you. You know, we just want the best for you. He didn't do that. Now, if he wanted to keep his life, he would have done that. He could care less about his life. His life meant nothing because he knew his purpose was to be born to tell people about Jesus. His purpose now is over with. He's already told about Jesus. Jesus already came at this point. And John knows that from now on, he's not even really needed. And so he's going to preach whatever he wants to preach. Don't matter who it offends. And so he tells Herod, it is not law for you to have her. Verse 5. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. Listen, John the Baptist declared the truth despite the circumstances, despite what it meant for his life. And John declared the truth. We should declare the truth. If you're a Christian today, you should be able to declare the truth. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to cover it up or smooth it out. Stand up and tell the truth. Tell it boldly. And without any kind of regrets, just say, this is what God says. And so when somebody comes to you and they say, well, you know, we're going to live together. You know, we don't see anything wrong with that. Well, let me tell you what God says about marriage. Let me tell you what the Bible says about one man and one woman. So we declare the truth. The next thing we find here in John the Baptist, this third thing. So far we've seen what? He has a purpose. He declared the truth. And third, John the Baptist was a humble man. He had great humility. Let's read Mark chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Mark 1, 6 through 8. It says, and John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Here we have one of the greatest preachers in all of history. More crowds than anybody could ever imagine that followed John around. He had his own disciples. Just as Jesus had disciples that followed him everywhere, John the Baptist had disciples, many, many disciples. In fact, more than Jesus had at the beginning. And so he had all this greatness. He could have bragged about all of his disciples. He could have bragged about the big names that come out to see him preach, as men would do today. Did you hear that the mayor of Knoxville come to hear me preach? That's what men would do today. Not John the Baptist. He could have got up and said, Herod came to hear me preach. Yeah. The Roman governor come to hear me preach. Has he ever came to hear you preach? Yeah, that's what men will do today. But John the Baptist was humble. He even says, listen, God, I am not even worthy to loosen. He says, let me get it right here. I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose the latchet of his shoes. In other words, I am nothing. When I couldn't even get down and touch the latchets on his shoes and help him with his shoes, I'm nothing. And so, listen, he was telling people about this one Jesus who was greater, who was mightier than him. And he realized that. And as soon as Jesus came on the scene, he realized that he was no longer needed. He didn't need to be in the forefront. He didn't need all these disciples following him. They needed now to follow Jesus. In fact, look at John chapter 3, verses 25 through 30. As soon as Jesus came on the scene and began preaching, there was this little incident that took place with John's disciples. John 3 and 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they come unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiced greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Look at verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Look, John was full of humility. Any other man, men of today, they would look at Jesus' ministry that was becoming successful. All men are going to him. That's what his disciples were doing. They were looking over at Jesus' ministry and saying, look, John, all these people are going over to see this Jesus, you know, the one that you've been talking about and preaching about. What are we supposed to do about this? I mean, they're killing our crowd. Look, we used to have a whole lot more people than we do now, and then they're all going over there to see him. And so that's kind of what they were doing right here. And John tells them, he says, listen, guys, he must increase. I've got to decrease. If there's anybody you need to go and follow their ministry, it's that guy. So you go over there. I'm not concerned about his ministry. I'm not concerned about the people he's taken. He can take them all. So the average man today would have puffed up and said, I'll protect my ministry. I'll not let this guy come in here and destroy everything that I've built. And the problem is, it's all about me, myself, and I in today's thoughts. But John said, guys, I'm out of here. I'm nothing compared to him. In fact, I've got to decrease. Excuse me. So John had a purpose. John declared the truth. John was full of humility. He was humble. And the fourth and final thing that we're going to look at this morning in John's life that should be present in ours, he made an impact. John the Baptist made an impact. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 7 through 11. Matthew 11, 7 through 11. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From Jesus' own lips, do you see what he said there? And boy, what a stinging rebuke against that society today, that day. It's a lot like ours. Jesus said, what did you guys go out there expecting to find? What'd you go out there to see? Some guy dressed in soft raiment? Those guys are in king's houses. Today, people are going to expect their pastor to be in soft raiment. They don't go expect to see their pastor wearing a burlap sack, a leather belt, and eating locust and wild honey. No, their pastor better be prim and proper, better have a shave. Better have his hair coiffed. Better have his teeth whitened. Better have on those nice suits because we bought them for him. Yeah, that's what people want to see today. Jesus said, what did you go out there to see? You think you're going to see some guy out there shaking in the wind like some reed? That's what people want to see today. Pastor better be shaking when I come into church. I give more an offering plate. He better quiver when I walk in. He better respect me. That's the way people are today. But Jesus says, listen, that's not John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a real man. He's a man's man. He's God's man. And that's why we titled the message today. And that's what we said from the very beginning of the word there. A man, he's a man sent from God. He wasn't a man sent from his mama. He wasn't a man sent from his grandmother. He wasn't a man sent from himself. He wasn't a so-called self-preacher. One decided he's going to go to seminary and be a preacher because he didn't know what else to do. That's what people are doing today. What are you going to do in your life? I really have no idea. Should I? I don't know. I'm thinking about maybe going to a seminary and becoming a preacher. That's not how you become a preacher. You become a preacher when God calls you to preach. You don't have to go to seminary. It's a good thing to have a good education in the Bible, but it's not a requirement. To be a man of God, you must be called of God. John the Baptist, the Bible says, was a man called of God. And so even John's rough exterior and his bold stance is explained throughout the Bible. Can you imagine the Lord saying something like that about you, what he did about John the Baptist, that you were the greatest born among women? I can't imagine that. Well, if you said, there's none greater than Elizabeth is born by a woman. Yeah, there's none greater born by a woman than Mary. There's none born greater from a woman than Byron or Matthew. Can you imagine that? Wow. Listen, John was a great man. So many people today strive to be great. They strive to be known by the world. They'll do anything today. People will actually lie, cheat, steal, whatever it takes to become known. Even if they're known for something bad, they just want to be known and considered to be something great. There's a lot of men in the throughout history that's been called great. They were not great men, but they were great persecutors. They were great commanders, maybe, of an army. Alexander the Great, he might have been a great conqueror. He was not a great man. It takes something different to be a great man or a great woman. You must have a purpose. You must declare the truth. You must show humility. And you must make an impact. Not an impact for yourself, to be seen by men, to be exalted, to make an impact for the Lord. That is, after all, why the Lord allows us to remain here on this earth after He saves us. After you have trusted Christ as your Savior, He allows you to continue to live for one purpose, to fulfill His will. Each of us have gifts and talents that the Lord gives us. It is our responsibility to get with the Lord, walk hand in hand with the Holy Ghost, discover what His will is for our life, what that thing is. We talked about at the beginning there, the purpose, what our purpose is. We find that by walking with the Lord, reading the Word of God, discovering what He has for us. There's many great men and women that's made huge impacts on this world. I can name you off some great men. Douglas MacArthur, great leader. General Patton, Robert E. Lee. These men were considered great men. All these men have something in common. Not that they were military leaders, but they were humble men going about their business, fulfilling their purpose. Now we need to be doing the same thing, only with the Lord in mind, with His kingdom in mind. John the Baptist made such an impact that here 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. Would he care if we were talking about him? No, he wouldn't care. He would rather us be talking about Jesus instead of Him. And so you can go and ask any kid that's ever been to Sunday school, can you tell me anything about John the Baptist? I sure can. He eat locust and wild honey. He wore rough clothing. He had a leather belt around him. He was a tough guy. They can tell you all about him. But what about you? What kind of impact are you making for the Lord? What will people say about you when you're gone? Will you be remembered as something trivial, something stupid you've done? We don't say stupid. Yeah, we do. Every day. Because there's a lot of stupid things going on in this world. Are you going to be remembered for being one of those? You remember his viral video where he ate a Tide Pod? Is that what you're going to be remembered for? Or are you going to be remembered for what you did for the Lord? Do you remember how he or she used to sing and sing praises to God? Do you remember how they used to get up and teach Sunday school and we learned so much? Do you remember how they used to go out and hand people gospel tracts? Do you remember how they used to witness to people out in public? Do you remember how they used to go into a restaurant and pray and out loud where everybody could hear them? Will those things be said about you, or is it going to be something else? What impact are you making? Have you discovered your purpose? Are you declaring the truth? Is your life a life of humility? And finally, are you making an impact for God in your life? I want us to think about those four things. If you're a Christian today, all four of these things should be present in your life, the same as they were in John the Baptist. People may never know your name in this world. They may not be talking about you 2,000 years from now. You may never be considered the greatest ever that's been born by women, but you can sure fulfill your purpose. You can declare the truth. You can live a life of humility, and you can make an impact. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message. God, I pray that these four things that we've talked about that were present in the life of John the Baptist will be found in each and every Christian. God, those that are listening to this right now here in this room, Lord, those that are listening online, those that will hear this later on, God, I pray that we all examine ourselves and see if these four things are present, if we declare that we're Christian, Lord, that they'll be in our lives. And Lord, if they're not, may we get busy. May we start searching and seeking your will for our life and our purpose. May we step out and boldly declare the truth. God, may we live a life that is humble, Lord, not one of arrogance, but, Lord, one that men will look at us and say they truly are humble. And, Lord, may we make an impact for you and your kingdom. Father, we want to give you all the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.